الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من والاه. Praise due to Allah, and may Allah send His peace and His blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 75. It reads: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أفتطمعون أن يؤمنوا لكم وقد كان فريق منهم يسمعون كلام الله ثم يحرفونه من بعد ما عقلوه وهم يعلمون وإذا لقوا الذين آمنوا قالوا آمنا وإذا خلا بعضهم إلى بعض قالوا أتحدثونهم بما فتح الله عليكم ليحاجوكم به عند ربكم أفلا تعقلون أولا يعلمون أن الله يعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني وإنهم إلا يظنون. Someone kindly read verse 75, 76, 77, and 78 in English, please. Or the interpretation, the meaning in English.
Do you, faithful believers, regret that they will believe in your religion despite the fact that part of them gave is rubbish? Used to hear the word of Allah, the Torah, then they used to change it knowingly after they understood it. And when they use methods who believe Muslims, they say, we believe. But when they met one another in private, they say, shall you Jews tell them, Muslims, what Allah revealed to you? Joke used about the description and qualities of Prophet Muhammad, which are written in the Torah, that they Muslims may argue with you, use about it before your Lord. Have you used them no understanding? No, they use not that Allah knows what they conceal and what they believe. And there are among them Jews and other people who know not the book, but they rush upon and fall aside and they but guess.
JazakAllah khair. My brothers, just a reminder, whenever someone is reading or something, we need to try to keep our silence just so that, because this is being recorded. And eventually, inshallah, maybe more people will benefit from it. So we want them to be able to hear what the brother was reading at the time of reading. Otherwise, if there's a lot of noise in the background, it becomes difficult. جزاكم الله خيرا. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, pertaining to these verses, هَذَا قَطْعٌ لِأَطْمَاعِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ إِيمَانِ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أي فلا تطمعوا في إيمانهم وحالتهم لا تقتضي الطمع فيهم. The Shaykh said this particular verse from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to make the Muslims or the believers give up the idea that the that the Jews or the people of the book will believe in them. Give it up. And this is something that you may have. Waalaikum salam. This is something that you may have with your own family members. Some of you family members who are non-Muslims are actually among those described in this verse. And some of them are among those who are described in other verses, where when they hear the truth that was sent down by Allah, they believe in it and they cry and they respond and they enter into Islam. So each non-Muslim or among the people of the book particularly is one of two kinds. One of two kinds. Here we're describing the part of them that will know the truth and deliberately deny it and go against it. And usually this is the quality of who? They're scholars, they're priests, you know? Like, because when the priests study the scripture, particularly the Greek scriptures and what have you, they come to realize all the distortions, all the contradictions, and all the changes that were made. This is why this, the theologian Bart Ehrman, I don't know if you've heard of Bart Ehrman. He's some big shot, a Christian. Christian theologian who was studying the Greek scriptures, the original scriptures of the Bible. A man with plenty of degrees and masters, and he was a big position in the Christian world. Now he's an atheist. And he has produced books against the Christians. One of them is called, what did Jesus say? No, what was it called? Misquoting Jesus. And he proved beyond any doubt the additions and the fabrications in the Bible. The most common among them that you may know is the story of the adulteress who was brought to Jesus and to be stoned. And he said, let the one of you who doesn't have any sin be the first to stone her. He said, if you go back to the Greek Bible, the original scriptures, this story does not exist. It does not exist. It is there in English, but it is not there in the original Aramaic or Hebrew language. And many other issues that he proved, the Trinity being something that was developed by the later Christians. You know, some you go on YouTube and the whole Christian world is fighting him right now, going against him. And he's produced many books about, you know, his utter disbelief. After he made the particular study, he realized that whatever people say and Jesus said, Jesus didn't say. That is nothing but a bunch of lies and fabrications. So this is a lesson for us Muslims to realize what's going on. Whenever their scholars dwell into the teachings, this is when they realize that they are upon falsehood. But the problem is that this time, he's a cardinal, he's some big shot, he has a big cross, he has his position, he can't forsake that. He's too afraid to leave all that alone. Of course, he has a few children on the molesting list that he's already enjoying. He's not going to leave his nice fancy position in church and go become a Muslim and pray 5 times a day and go to Hajj. So obviously they will know the truth, reject the truth, and stick with whatever they have, knowing it's falsehood. So these are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said above Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the believers, give up the hope. Give up hope on these people that they will ever believe in you. Why? Because they were, فَإِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُحَرِّفُونَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا عَقِلُوا وَعَلِمُوا. They used to distort the words of Allah after they had understood it and they had knowledge of it. Just as those who were the scribes who used to write the scriptures from the Christians, this is what also Bart Ehrman proved. The scribes would actually read a verse. If they didn't like it, or they belonged to a particular denomination, then they would twist the verse and write it in a way which is in according with their belief system and their direction. And now people read it thinking that this is originally the right text, but really this is a translation, or the scribe who was copying it from the original scripture made a change according to his own desires. And this is the known about them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying their quality was that they would know the knowledge, they had knowledge of the words of Allah, of the revelation of the Torah, yet they would change it, they would distort it. فَيَضَعُونَ لَهُ مَعَانِي مَا أَرَضَهَ اللَّهُ. So they will add meanings that Allah Azza wa Jal did not include, Allah did not intend. They will say, oh no, what is intended by this verse is such and such. Oh no, this is really not applicable, and things along these lines. لِيُوهِمُ النَّاسِ أَنَّهَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. So the people who are less knowledgeable, the common people, will think that it is from Allah. They will think it is from Allah. They will tell, no, no, this is not what is meant. This is what is intended, so they will believe them. فَإِذَا كَانَتْ هَذِي حَالٌ فِي كِتَابِهِمْ الَّذِينَ يَرَوْنَهُ شَرَفُهُمْ وَدِينَهُمْ. He said, if this is their condition with their own book, which in it, they see in it their honor and their dignity, yani if they distort their own Torah, and they say that this is a book given to us by God, this is the book of, you know, they praise the Bible, and in their Bible they make these changes. يَصُدُّونَ بِهِ النَّاسَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And they prevent people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَيْفَ يُرْجَ مِنْهُمْ إِيمَانٌ لَكُمْ. So how do you expect them to believe in you? فَهَذَا مِنْ أَبْعَدِ الْأَشْيَاءِ. This is among the most far-fetched things to ever happen. Yani people who are twisting their own Bible, they know that originally this was from God. Then they make the changes and they add and delete and they give you a new interpretation with their own book that they say this is the word of God. If this is their behavior with their own book, do you think they're going to come to the Quran and freely accept it? If they had this quality, they would have admitted from the beginning that there's something wrong with our Bible. There are some changes here. Things along these lines. Now, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ حَالَ مُنَافِقِي أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فَقَالَ وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا فَأَظْهَرُوا لَهُمُ الْإِيمَانَ قَوْلًا بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the quality of the hypocrites among the people of the book. The hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? Someone who shows you something outwardly and withholds another insight. So you find a Christian, for example, who hears that the Da'wah Center will help you financially. Or if you become a Muslim, you'll get a day off on Friday. Or something along these lines. You want to marry this woman? Yalla. So you find a hypocrite coming along the Da'wah Center or any other place and telling you, I'm a Muslim, salam alaikum, alaikum salam, oh shahada, and he goes to the salah with you. But deep inside, Allah knows he's a kafir. Allah knows that he still worships Jesus besides Allah. But outwardly, he's among you. He's among the Muslims. This is what a hypocrite is, a munafiq. And those were present at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are present until today. Those who pretended Islam on the outside, but inside were among the most wicked of kuffar. Why? Because that was means of protection. Because of a worldly gain. So these are among the worst of people. That's why Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Verily the hypocrites will be in the lowest level of the fire. Yani below the Jews and the Christians. Because you know the fire is levels. And the deeper you are, the more severe the punishment. So among all of those who will be punished, the hypocrites will be in the least, lowest part. Because they had the most damage. Someone who tells you I'm a Christian, you'll know how to, you know where to stop. Someone who tells you he's a Muslim, and he is a Christian inside, big problem. Because you have to give him rights that he doesn't deserve. You may open up to him and he's wicked, he's trying to use his secrets for his own benefit. Yani the damage that you get from someone who claims to be a Muslim are much more than those who are straight up kuffar. You see? So of course we don't accuse anyone of hypocrisy as far as we're concerned. Nobody sitting there looking around for brothers in the da'wah and saying, I don't think he's a real Muslim. This is from the shaitan fooling around with you. We accept everyone as being a Muslim, their affair is with Allah. Unless you see something quite obvious, yani where you've seen this person calling upon Jesus, then you can say, okay, maybe there's an issue. Otherwise, we assume that everyone is a Muslim until proven otherwise. And if Allah wants to expose them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose them. It will not be a secret for too long. And if Allah wants to conceal their thing, Allah will conceal it. But in the hereafter, ma'a salama. Actually, there'll be no salama. Salama means peace. There'll be ma'a jahannam al-iyadu billah. They'll be with Jahannam. طيب. So now Allah describing the hypocrites among the people of the book. What was their affair? If they see those who believe, they will say, we believe. إِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَا. We say, we believe. We believe. I believe, yes. You get some of the Christians like this. Yes, one God. Yes, no, Jesus, not God. No, Jesus, not the Son of God. Say, oh, so, no Trinity. Yeah, me too. I don't believe in Trinity. You've ever met one of these guys? Have you ever met one of these guys, a Christian who just, yalla. Oh yeah, me too. Oh yeah, the Quran book, Mia. Nice book from God. Yes. طيب, why are you Christian still? The thing is this. If you're a Christian man, I mean, you cannot be a Christian after you realize Christianity is based upon Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, man. Jesus being the Son of God, Jesus being God. That's the Christianity according to today. If you want to follow the word Christian, being a Christ follower, then you have to be a Muslim. Because we are the Christ followers in terms of his lifestyle. Otherwise, you cannot remain a Christian. Because you'll find some Christians who would want to be smart with you. Well, he says, I believe, no Trinity, yes, I know. Jesus is not God. Jesus is the messenger of God. Then you get stuck with these guys. What are you going to tell them? How are you going to convince them to leave into Islam? Then there remains one thing. You must know this. If you ever come across one of these guys, and he says that, I believe like you believe, but I don't have to be a Muslim. What's the difference between me and you? You believe that there's one God, I believe there's one God. You believe that this, I believe, the same thing. You tell him, listen, your iman, your belief will not be complete until you believe in everything that was sent by God. So as long as you deny the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran which was sent to him, then you are a non-Muslim. You are a disbeliever. So it is not sufficient to claim that, just the fact that you don't believe in the Trinity does not make you a believer either. Because belief entails that you believe in everything that was God sent. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent by Allah and the Quran was sent down by Allah. So if you deny them, then you have denied Jesus and the Gospel and Moses and the Torah and Noah and everybody. Because everything that you either submit to God or you are objecting to God. There's no middle path. Either you submit to God everything that came you believe in, or you are objecting to God, where you agree with some and you disagree with some, and you no one has that position. So there's no escape. Tell him, until you believe in the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the Quran, you are still not a believer, my friend, and you don't have salvation. You do not have salvation, because that's part of the faith. Part of the faith is to believe in the prophecy of Jesus about the Messenger coming after him, the Comforter. Who's the Comforter? Where is the Comforter except Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So how are you going to believe in some and disbelieve in some? So there's no escape. Yani just be careful of these intelligent, or they think they're intelligent individuals who try to be funny with you. So anyways, those they say, if they see those who believe, we say, we believe just like you. فَأَظَرُوا لَهُمُ الْإِيمَانِ قَوْلًا بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ So they show faith with their tongues by making a statement. I believe like you believe. مَا لَيْسَ بِقُلُوبِهِمْ But it is not in their hearts. وَإِذَا قَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ This is when they get funky now. Whenever they are with each other in seclusion, whenever they are on their own without the Muslims being around, فَلَمْ يَكُنْ عِنْدَهُمْ أَحَدٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَهْلِ دِينِهِمْ When no one from other religions is present, قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ They say to one another, أَتُحَدِّثُونَهُمْ بِمَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَيْ أَتُظْهِرُونَ لَهُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَتُخْبِرُونَهُمْ أَنَّكُمْ مِثْلَهُمْ فَيَكُونُ ذَلِكَ حُجَّةً لَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ Do you, they start reprimanding each other. You're telling them that you believe in what they believe in, then they're going to use this as an evidence against you. They're going to tell you later, you said that you believe like me, then why aren't you a Muslim now? You see what I'm saying? Because they're saying this out in their tongues, but they're not implementing it in their actions. No salah, no zakah, none of that stuff. So then the Muslims can turn around and say, you said that you believe like I believe. I don't see you doing what I'm doing as a Muslim, as a believer. يقولون إنهم قد أقروا بأن ما نحن عليه حق وما هم عليه باطل يعني they're telling them they already know they are certain the Muslims that whatever they are upon is the truth and whatever we are upon this is the Christians and the Jews speaking to one another each on their own the people of the book and whatever we are upon is falsehood فيحتجون عليكم بذلك عند ربهم so they will use that as an evidence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against you أفلا تعقلون do you not understand أي أفلا يكون لكم عقل so do you not have a brain فتتركون ما هو حجة عليكم ما هو حجة عليكم هذا يقوله بعضهم لبعض so do you not have a brain so you will try to avoid that which will become an evidence against you this is what they say to one another now this is the refutation from Allah now this is how stupid the son of Adam can become where they try to plot with each other salam, thinking that they're accomplishing something and who are they plotting against Allah right this plotting that's going on between these people of the book about how to deal with the Muslims and belief and disbelief and what have you is going among them plotting against who Allah trying to trick who Allah because forget about the people who knows what you're upon Allah Forget about the people. Now you tell the people, I'm this, I'm that. Tayyib. Who knows what's inside? Allah. So now how these people of the book missed that. Alaykum salam. They missed that. أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ Do they not know? Don't worry about Abdulhad. He's just a human being. He sat down. Okay? Do they not know that Allah knows what they hold as a secret and what they expose, what they say out loud? فَهُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَرُّ مَا يَعْتَقِدُونَهُ فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمْ وَزَعَمُوا أَنَّ فِيمَ بَيْنِهِمْ أو بينهم وزعموا أنهم بإصرارهم لا يتطرق عليهم حجة للمؤمنين فإن هذا غلط منهم وجهل كبير فإن الله يعلم سرهم وعلنهم فيظهر لعباده ما أنتم عليه So the Sheikh said, so they are, even if they keep to themselves as a secret what they believe inside, and then they claim that by not exposing their secrets, then they will not be exposed, they will not be affected by the Muslims, who will use it as an evidence against them. He says, this is a major mistake from them and major ignorance. Because verily Allah knows their secrets and that which they say in the open. And Allah will make it obvious and clear to His servants what they are upon. وَمِنْهُمْ وأي من أهل الكتاب أميون أي عوام ليسوا من أهل العلم لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني أي ليس لهم حظ من كتاب الله إلا التلاوة فقط. And among them, and now the interpretation of this verse may be different in your in the book that you have, but among the interpretations that I'm familiar with, which the Shaykh goes to, is a very interesting one, which is relevant to us Muslims as well. Among the people of the book are those who are among the common people, or the word used here is ummiyun, illiterate. And they are not considered illiterate because they are unable to read or write. They're not considered illiterate because they're unable to read or write. This is one form of illiteracy. One form of illiteracy is when you're unable to read or write. The other form of illiteracy is when you're able to read and write, but you do not implement and understand what you're reading or writing. Because you can get a blind man, who is a big alim, big scholar in Islam. Can you call him illiterate? No. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could not read or write. He is the most knowledgeable man. Without any comparison, without any doubt, the most knowledgeable man of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was illiterate. On the other hand, you get a big doctor, big scientist, who knows how to break down chemical equations. But when you ask him about his Lord, he doesn't know jack. He doesn't know anything. This man is more illiterate than a million people who cannot read or write. You see what the yardstick here is? So among the people of the book are those who are illiterate. They know nothing of the book but recitation. The only portion they have of the book is only recitation. وليس عندهم خبر بما عند الأولين الذين يعلمون حق المعرفة حاليم. And they do not have knowledge like those who came before them, who know the knowledge behind the verses. وهؤلاء إنما معهم ظنون وتقاليد لأهل العلم منهم. Those people, all they do is imitate the people of knowledge, and all they have is guesses and assumptions. And this particular verse, yani, is applicable to the Muslims, by the way. And this is yani used by some of the scholars in the common day against yani the Muslims who get overoccupied with the tajweed and reciting the Quran and memorizing the Quran, which is all praiseworthy, but with conditions. With conditions. First, you must know what you are reading, what you are memorizing, what it means, and more importantly, you must implement. You must implement. Otherwise, you're just like those whom Allah has criticized. Among them are those who are illiterate, they know nothing of the book by recitation. So you'll get a person, A'udhu Billah, may Allah protect us, who violates everything in Islam. Everything in Islam. He comes clean shaven. Pants dangling on the ground. Just came with his girlfriend in a scarf. Listening to music. Huh? Disobeying his parents. Lying. Every sin you want, and he comes to a place and he's like, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Oh, everybody, Allahu Akbar, mashallah, Allah, big shaykh, big shaykh, big shaykh, ya shaykh. Inshallah, the deen is just by someone making some nice melody for you so you could shake your head, and then khalas, he's a big shaykh now. La wallah. This is an illiterate person. And this Quran, as the Prophet ﷺ said, will be an evidence against him on the day of judgment. Al Quran hujjatun lak aw hujjatun alayk. It's either an evidence for you, or Allah, I read, I understood, I implemented, or it's an evidence against you. The Quran will say, oh Allah, he only recited me and there was no action. Well, now we're not saying you're going to become a scholar, you have to know every verse that you are memorizing. But we don't want to be also on the other extreme where we have no idea what we're memorizing. Well, I have all Juz'u Amma. What does Juz'u Amma talk about? I don't know. What does this verse mean? I don't know. What does this mean? I don't know. So, we don't want to be these individuals. I mean, this is not how we level or measure someone's understanding of the deen or iman. Because the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they would not bypass 10 verses before they understood what was there from rulings and meetings and legislation and everything. They will get 10 verses from the Quran, learn everything in them, then they will move on to memorize the next 10. That's why it took Ibn Umar. You know Ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, one of the biggest scholars in Islam. Okay? Yani the brother yani radiallahu anhu arda is beyond your understanding. You know how long it took him to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah? Give it a wild guess.
10 years.
8 years. 8 years. Nowadays, you go to the tahfidh, any kid will memorize it in less than a month, Surah Al-Baqarah. It took him 8 years. But when he finished, he came out with knowledge, fatawa, he aided the Muslims with the knowledge that he had, but he wasn't just trying to memorize and read nicely. That's okay. We're not saying yani, you have to be a lousy reciter, not know the tajweed. Don't misunderstand me. But the idea is that the companions were concerned about understanding because they're afraid. These are the words of Allah. Allah will ask me on the Day of Judgment, what did you do with these verses you were reciting? Did I reveal them as Hassan al-Basri said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran in order to be implemented, in order to be practiced by the people. So the people took the recitation of the Quran as a practice. Listen to me. Allah revealed the Quran for the people to practice it, yani the teachings. So the people took the recitation of the Quran as a practice. They turned the tables around. So this is, excuse me. So, we don't want to be among those individuals. Wallahi, this is a serious affair. And if one of us was to memorize Surah Al-Duha with the meanings of the words and the understanding behind it and the tafsir and read it during the night on his own, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And Surah Al-Duha, understanding it and implementing it and understanding the tafsir of it and praying at night or even in any salah on your own while taking your time and thinking is far better than having all of Juz'u Amma memorized without knowing anything in it. One surah that is understood where it affects your heart. Because how does the Quran affect your heart? When you know what you are reading. Now sometimes you cry in the salah because other people are crying. That's not really what we're looking for though. You want to get the cry that comes from you. You know, the thing that the verse, the meaning of the verse touches your heart, makes it soft. That's the kind of crying we're looking for, not the one that is done in congregation. Well, everybody crying, oh, I also cry, my salam, ya Allah, bismillah. Now we have many strange things nowadays. But anyways, my advice for myself and you, and this is why we're having this class, the class of tafsir, so we will understand what we are reading to the best of our ability. Yani everybody according to his ability. Allah will not give any one of us more than he can handle. Don't yani despair. Try your best to learn the meanings of the words. There's a book, four books that come together and they're called Quran word for word. It has the whole Quran word for word. Yani each Arabic word and the English. Arabic, English, the whole thing. So that will teach you kind of the definition or the meanings of the words, the translation. This is a very beneficial book, 4 volumes. It's available in Dar es Salaam, I believe, and other places. You may want to invest into that eventually. Where you become familiar, yani go to the Juz'u Amma, and you read Amma Yatasa'alun, you know what Amma means, Yatasa'alun means, Al Naba Al Azim, you know what An means, Al Naba means Al Azim, everything. If you do this, wa alaykum salam, if you do this long enough, then you become familiar with the meanings, inshallah. المهم يقول الشيخ فذكر في هذه الآيات علماءهم وعوامهم ومنافقيهم ومن لم ينافق منهم فالعلماء منهم متمسكون بما هم عليه من الضلال والعوام مقلدون لهم لا بصيرة عندهم فلا مطمع لكم في الطائفتين. So Allah mentioned in this verse the 2 categories of them, the scholars among them and the common people and the hypocrites and those who did not do hypocrisy. فالعلماء منهم, the scholars among them are holding on to whatever they have of misguidance. This is the scholars among the people of the book. And the ignorant ones are only imitators. They only imitate them and they have no knowledge themselves. Waalaikum salam. They have no knowledge themselves. So you should have no hope in either one of them believing. Have no hope in either one of them believing. Now listen to this one. فويل للذين يكتبون الكتاب بأيديهم ثم يقولون هذا من عند الله ليشتروا به ثمنا قليلا فويل لهم مما كتبت أيديهم وويل لهم مما يكسبون. Verse 79, someone please read in English.
Assalamualaikum.
Salam.
In woe to those who write the book with their own hand and they say it is from Allah, but verse part is within the little price. Woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for what they hear in their body.
طيب. توعد الله تعالى المحرفين للكتاب الذين يقولون لتحريفهم وما يكتبون هذا من عند الله. الله سبحانه وتعالى send down a threat, a major threat to those who distort the book, and they say to that which they distort and change, this is from Allah, هذا من عند الله وهذا فيه إظهار الباطل وكتم الحق. And this has two violations. It is exposing the falsehood and hiding the truth. Exposing the falsehood and hiding the truth. وإنما فعلوا ذلك مع علمهم ليشتروا به ثمنا قليلا. But the only reason why they did this while they had knowledge of what they are doing is in order to purchase with it some cheap worldly gain. Some cheap worldly gain. والدنيا كلها, the Shaykh said, and the whole dunya, من أولها إلى آخرها, from the beginning of this dunya until the end of it, ثمن قليل, is a small sum, is a small insignificant amount. فجعلوا باطلهم شركا يصطادون شركا أو شركا يصطادون به, وعليكم السلام, يصطادون به ما في أيدي الناس فظلموهم من وجهين. So then they used their falsehood as a trap in which they hunt people with. You know, like they make a hole in the ground, and then they put a net for some animal to be walking by. Then the animal falls in, and they kind of hunt in this fashion. These people of the book are using similar methodology. That these verses that they twist and they say this is from Allah. And I don't know if you ever watched the debate between Jimmy Swaggart and Ahmed Didat, rahimahullah. Yes, yes. But if you really watch this thing, man, you really get that, you understand this verse very, very good. You understand this verse very good, because this guy, Jimmy Swaggart, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse him repeatedly until he dies. I don't know if he died already, I don't think so. He was caught with a prostitute. This guy, man, is a big, big time liar. And he was humiliated publicly in front of the people, made to be clear to the people that this Bible that you were claiming earlier is the word of God is not. And Ahmed Didat rahimahullah gave him what he deserves. Yet this liar will come to the people knowing, no, now he knows that what he supports is falsehood, and that the truth is elsewhere. He will do the opposite. He will hide the truth and he will expose to the people the falsehood, and he will tell them this is from God. Yo, Jesus came and spoke to me, tell him that I love Ahmed Didat. Allah, a big liar, man. Allah, no, and look, even the little kids will know that he's lying at this point. Did you watch this, man? He said, oh, Jesus is speaking, God is speaking to you. And then subhanAllah, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you. Then wallahi, it wasn't long before he was caught with a prostitute. And he was exposed, and he came in front of the TV, American TV, crying to the people, I'm sorry, this I disobey Allah. He pretends that he's seeking tawbah, this liar. So these people are out there, man, with the hundreds and thousands. And whenever they are pinpointed, whenever they are, the truth is pinpointed to them that, listen, man, this verse here is a fabrication. And if you study it, you will find out it's the case. And this is a verse from the Quran refuting it. And this is what Jesus said in another verse. And you make the truth clear to them. But they will not accept it. Rather, they will continue to propagate their belief, their denomination, their stuff. These are the worst people in the sight of Allah. Why? Because they are purchasing, they want the dunya. If they wanted the hereafter, if they were worried about meeting Allah, you will not dare to do that. You will not dare to, how could you know that Allah will be displeased with you and Allah will curse you, Allah will put you in the hellfire if you live up to this methodology and you continue upon it, if you really feared Allah. But they don't have that. Rather, they are concerned about the worldly gain. The worldly gain that they get, it may be obvious, it may be hidden, it may come later. Don't be fooled by the so-called pious non-Muslims. Anytime you see a pious non-Muslim, accuse him of hypocrisy and lies. Because the only way you could be pious is by fearing the one who deserves to be feared, that's Allah. If you have this towards someone else, then you are just a liar. And we must understand these things. Now, we're not saying that we become violent against the non-Muslims or we treat them all in an evil manner. No. Rather, you must be kind and gentle in your da'wah and your methodology and your behavior and the whole nine yards. But deep inside, you must have this firm understanding that no one is upon the truth but Muslims. No one is really seeking Allah's pleasure but the Muslims. Everybody else is a fake individual. Fake, more fake than you can imagine. And you know what I'm saying. I mean, you've seen these individuals, you probably live among them back home. You know what I'm talking about. That's why I see them indulging all kinds of sin and disobedience, and they claim that they are the closest people to God. How you go molest a child and be a priest? I don't understand. Until today, this doesn't digest yet. If you are supposed to be the man of example and the follower of Jesus and the lover of God, then you come and you ruin some young man who was sent there so he could learn the affairs of his religion. You go twist his life and ruin it, and doing this for years and years and years all over the world. Every time the Pope now goes to a country, the first thing he has to apologize about is the million children that were molested. Any country he goes to, they come and tell him, you know, he gives them personal private consultation, some of those who were molested. You just watch the news, man. They have to go to this Pope, A'udhu Billah, this Pope, they go to him and tell him this and that. He tells them, ma'alesh, it's okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's $1,000, just be quiet, man. Don't embarrass this more in front of the TV. So, and this is their life. This is their reality, man. Yeah, you don't find this from the Muslims, alhamdulillah, except those who don't really understand the deen. Tayyib. So, they oppress the people in two ways. فَمِنْ جِهَةِ تَلْبِيسِ دِينِهِمْ عَلَيْهِمْ تَلْبِيسِ دِينَهُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ First, they make the religion ambiguous to the people. These religious people, they make those who are following them not understand anymore. You know, you go ask a priest about Trinity to explain it to you, he may answer you, he may not answer you, he may give you some silly example like water, and water becomes ice, and then water becomes gas, and this is three in one, what's the big deal, you know, it's Trinity. Make the religion ambiguous to the people, so the person says, oh yeah, huh, water, okay, khalas, now I believe in Trinity. That doesn't make any sense. Yani, this is not how you're supposed to believe. So they make the truth ambiguous to the people. The people don't understand the affairs of their deen. وَمِنْ جَهَةِ أَخْذِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ غَيْرِ الْحَقِّ And they take money from them. They take money from them oppressively. فَبَلْ بِأَبْطَلِ الْبَاطِلِ Rather, they take money in the most oppressive way. أَعْظَمْ مِمَّنْ يَأْخُذُهَا غَصْبًا وَسَرِقَةً وَنَحْوِهِمَا And taking money under the false pretense of religiousness is worse than a person who takes your money by stealing it from you. Yeah, if someone coming and stealing money from you, it's better for you than a religious person trying to use the money that you have while misguiding you. And he's using religion and the thing that is supposed to be magnifying God, he uses that which is supposed to be magnifying God for him just to make some money out of your pocket. This is worse than someone coming and robbing you with a shotgun, with a gun to your head. You see what I'm saying? Because this one is using wicked means. This one is using supposed to be something praiseworthy, something good, in order to take your money. And these people are out there. You see them. فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ So here's the bottom line. Allah says, وَلِيَذَا تَوَعَدُهُمْ بِهَذَيْنِ الْأَمْرِ And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the threat for these two qualities they have. فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ So woe to them from that which their hands earn, in terms of taking people's money oppressively. مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ عَفْوًا From that which their hands write, from distortion and twisting the meanings. وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ And woe to them from that which they earn from the wealth. وَالْوَيْلِ What does wail mean? Woe. Woe means شِدَّةُ الْعَذَابُ وَالْحَسْرَةُ Extreme punishment and regret.
Salaam
alaikum. Salaam. وَفِي ضُمِّهَا الْوَعِيدُ الشَّدِيدُ And included is the utmost threat. This is what woe means. So whenever you read in Surah Al-Masad, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ This is a very dangerous word, wail. This is a threat. Threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Ma'un, barakallahu fika, Abdul Hadi. I was waiting for someone to correct me because I know it was in Masjid, but I can't remember. This is a threat from Allah. فَوَيْلٌ But the idea in the scholars say, look now, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ So woe to those who pray but are negligent about their prayer. يعني imagine, then what do you think about the one who doesn't pray? If the woe was given to the person who prays but is negligent, yeah, and you come to work but you don't do the job mia mia, what do you think about the person who doesn't even show up to work? If the boss is angry with the one who comes to work is not doing his job right, what do you think he will do to the guy who doesn't even bother to call in sick or show up? He's going to fire him before he even makes it to work the next day. You may, يعني, there may be some negotiations between you and the boss. So this is an understanding here. Woe to those who pray but are negligent about their salah. What does negligent about their salah mean? The scholars say this means a number of things. Among them is, for the brothers, and we begin with the most important, jama'ah, salatul jama'ah. If you come in for the second jama'ah, but even worse, if you come in after takbirat al-ihram, then you are in trouble. The Salaf, the righteous predecessors, used to say, if you see a person being negligent about takbirat al-ihram, wash yourself away from him. If you have a friend, and you see him careless about attending, making it to the takbirat al-ihram, what's takbirat al-ihram? The first takbirah that you enter into the salah with, he says, leave alone his company. Don't hang out with this guy no more. This is how they used to be. Actually, Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, do not be like the wicked servant. He does not come until he is called. You know, if you had a servant, if he's good, eat. Like, let's say a waiter. And you're a waiter at a restaurant. I worked as a waiter at one point in my life. I don't know if you've ever done this job. It's a cool job. But if you're a waiter, you don't want to wait for the customer to call you. Say, hey man, where's my refill? I never brought the fries, huh? What's best is that you come before he asks. You see that his drink is almost done, you go get the refill, ala tul. Huh? This is in terms of dealing with people, of course, more befitting. So the Ibn Sufyan Ra'ayah said, don't be like the wicked servant, he doesn't come until he's called. He said, i'ti salata qabla nida. Come to the salah before the call. What is the call here then? Hayya ala salah. Come to the salah. Hayya ala falah. Come to success. He said, don't wait for the guy to call you, man. And then you go to him. Don't be a wicked servant. Go to the salah before they call you to the salah. This is how they used to be. And you could do this today. You can do this today. You'll go through a hard time. You will go through a hard time because people will not like that. People like to take it easy. Take it easy, man. Take it easy, take it easy, take it easy until you miss the salah while you're taking it easy. But we'll make it the masjid time. We're almost there. Asr, you already made it at Maghrib time. And you didn't even pray Asr in the Jama'ah. So if you're going to wait for the people, forget about it. You have to be kind of you have to be stern with this stuff. Listen, this salah time, no playing around, man. No basketball, no jump ball, no football, no batikh. Salah time, ma'alas, everything else can wait. This is how you have to be, otherwise the shayateen will ride you. And you will not be among those, you will fall under those, fawailun al-musalleen. So we don't want to miss the salah, we don't want to miss takbirat al-ihram, naturally. Of course, if it's difficult for you to make it before the adhan, Allah musta'an. But this is preference wise. This is the best. But you don't want to miss takbirat al-ihram. You don't want to pray in the second jama'ah. You don't want to pray in the second jama'ah because this falls under fawailun al-musalleen. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَوْمُ. Then, this is in terms of, يعني معلش, when you go to those who don't do the salah five times a day, or those who don't pray in the masjid, the brother who hears the adhan, and he prays at home like the woman, then he is definitely under this particular threat. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never raised his hand against any human being, just so we'll understand. He never raised his hand against any human being except when they were fighting in the cause of Allah, on the battlefield. Other than that, he never harmed anyone, alayhi salatu wasalam. Not his wives, not his children, not anyone. Unlike us, Allah musta'an. But listen to what he said. He said, I was about to have someone call the adhan. Then I was about to have someone call the iqamah. Then I was about to have someone lead the people in the salah. Then I would go to the homes of men who don't attend the jama'ah and I would burn their houses down. And had it not been for the woman and the children, I would have done so.
That was Jum'ah
prayer. No, not Jum'ah. This is for the Jama'at. This is for all the congregational prayers. This is for all the congregational Jama'ah prayer, not for Jum'ah. There's another hadith about Jum'ah. If you read more, you will see that there's more than one narration dealing with the same idea. This is about brothers who don't, and actually the hadith says, Salatul Fajr wal Isha. They mentioned Salatul Fajr and Isha. He said, and if they knew that they would find a nice piece of meat, they would come to the Salah. For the hypocrites. He said, yani, they didn't show up to the salah because of their hypocrisy. But if someone told them, there's a prize in the masjid, hey, if you go to the masjid for Uzur, man, you may win a Mercedes. Wallah, we'll be in line. From 3 in the morning, waiting the first person at the door of the masjid. Yalla, man, open the door. Why? Because maybe they draw the lot, I win the Mercedes. Right? That's hypocrisy. That's dunya, man. That's seeking the dunya with the acts of worship. That's someone really not understanding the deen properly. So this is, may Allah protect us from deviance. But the idea is that we want to be keen on the salah five times a day in the masjid. And if you're not praying five times a day altogether, then you are in big, big trouble. Big, big trouble. According to some of the scholars, you're not even a Muslim at the time that you're not doing the salah. So if you die in the state, you die as a non-Muslim. And if you die as a non-Muslim, ma'a salama for eternity. Eternity. Don't expect anything good. So yani the situation is dangerous. So this is what the word wail. It comes in many occasions in the Quran. We must become familiar with it. So next time you hear it in the salah, you understand that this is a threat for a severe punishment from Allah. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. This is among them. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. These are all among the wails in the Quran. نعم. قال شيخ الإسلام لما ذكر هذه الآيات من قوله أفتطمعون إلى يكسبون. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمة الله عليه. Everybody knows شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية. Who knows him? Raise your hand. Ibn Taymiyyah. He's called Sheikh al-Islam for a reason. The Sheikh of Islam. He came around 700 years ago. Rahmatullah alayhi. This brother man was unreal. Allah gave him so much knowledge that the scholars during his time described him with the following. They said, the same way Allah made iron easy for David. Allah made the iron in David's hand, he will go like this with the iron, he will shape it however he wanted. You know that? No. Dawood alayhi sallam. He said, the same way Allah made iron easily managed by Dawood, Allah made knowledge easily managed by Ibn Taymiyyah. The brother was an ocean of knowledge. So much so that if he wrote in any aspect of the deen, whether in the tafsir, or in the aqidah, or in the fiqh, or in the hadith, if you read his work, you will think that this is his specialty. But this was his case with everything. This was his case with everything that he dealt with. Anyways, we will one day inshallah deal with, I have a little book called Letters from Prison for Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He was in prison a few times, he died in prison actually. Not because he committed any murders, he died in prison because of a fatwa. Because he gave fatawa against some of the Sufis during his time who were very much into grave worshipping. And he gave a fatawa that said that this is not permissible. So those among those Sufis, they conspired with the Amir during their time. And the Amir got imprisoned and he died in prison, rahmatullah alayhi. And he produced volumes of fatawa and books and you know things that are just abundance of knowledge. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah said pertaining to these verses, فإن الله ذم الذين يحرفون الكلمة عن مواضعه وهو متناول لمن حمل الكتاب والسنة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticized those who try to twist the meaning of the words from their original intent. Those who twist the meaning of the verse or the word from its original intent. He says, and this is also included to those who do this to the Quran and the Sunnah. Because you know among the Muslims are very much many people of those. The Mu'tazila and Al-Ashairah. These are all groups that deviated from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in terms of the understanding of the names and attributes of Allah. And this is the class that we're having on Saturday. I'm sure some of you got the text message about Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah dealing with the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I suggest all of you attend this class if you're able to do so. Al-Muhim, عَلَى مَا أَصَلَهُ مِنَ الْبِدْعَ الْبَاطِلَةِ وذم الذين لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this includes those who try to distort the kitab, the Quran and the Sunnah, with whatever they have introduced from false innovations. Where Allah also criticized those who do not know anything of the book except recitation. وهو متناول لمن ترك تدبر القرآن ولم يعلم إلا مجرد تلاوة حروفه. And this includes the person who leaves alone the pondering upon the book of Allah and is only concerned with the recitation of the letters. Those who don't ponder upon the Quran and only are concerned with the recitation of the letters. And I told you, you see these all over the place. They're very articulate and specific about the makhraj al-harf, it must be this, it must be that. But then his life has nothing to do with what he's reading. So we don't want to be these people. Now. وَمُتَنَاوِلْ لِمَنْ كَتَبَ كِتَابًا بِيَدِهِ مُخَالِفًا لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ لِيَنَالُ بِهِ دُنْيَا. And this also includes the person who writes a book with his own hand and he says that this is from Allah in order to gain some worldly gain with it. وَقَالْ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Then he says this is from Allah. مِثَلْ أَنْ يَقُولْ هَذَا هُوَ الشَّرْعُ وَالدِّينِ. Now he's meaning something else. Like a person writing a book and saying this is the religion of Islam. This is the legal law of Islam. Although it is really not. Someone who's a deviant and his understanding of the deen, he writes a book and tells you Islam is whatever I have in this book. This is the deen of Allah. In reality, he's not basing it on the Quran and the Sunnah. He's basing it on innovative understanding of the deen. And these are all over the place. And may Allah keep you far away from these books and keep these books far away from you. وهذا معنى الكتاب والسنة وهذا معقول السلف والأئمة. And this is the intent. He will say that this is the book of, this is the deen of Allah, and this is the understanding of the Quran and Sunnah. So he says, the person says, this is the understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah, and this is what the righteous predecessors were upon. وَهَذَا هُوَ أُصُولُ الدِّينِ. This is the principles of the deen. الَّذِي يَجِبُ اعْتِقَادَهُ عَلَى الْأَعْيَانِ وَالْكِفَايَةِ. This is what everybody must believe in, whether individually or as a community. وَمُتَنَاوَلْ لِمَنْ كَتَمَ مَا عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ. And included in this criticism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, criticism is the person who hides whatever knowledge he has from the Quran or the Sunnah. Someone who hides it and deprives the people of it. لِأَلَّا يُحْتَجَّ بِهِ مُقَالِبُهُ فِي الْحَقِّ الَّذِي يَقُولُ. So the one who is refuting him will not use it as an evidence against him. So the person will know that this hadith is weak, but he will not mention it because he's afraid that the person who will oppose him will use this against him. Say, this hadith is weak, how are you using it to base your foundation? These are also available. وَهَذِهِ الْأُمُورُ كَثِيرًا جِدًّا فِي أَهْلِ الْأَهْوَاءِ جُمْلَةً كَالرَّافِضَةِ وَتَفْصِيلًا مِثْلِ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْمُتَسِبِينَ فُقَهَاءَ. And this is something that is very common among the people of desires, like the Shia. They're called الْرَافِضَةِ from the word رَفْض. And رَفْض means rejection. So really they're called the rejectors. And the reason why they call that, because they rejected what? What did the Shia reject? They rejected the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar and Uthman. And they claimed that this belonged to Ali radiallahu anhu arda'ah. And this is falsehood. Because when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dying on his deathbed, he told Aisha, Muru Abu Bakr falyusalli bin nas. Command Abu Bakr to lead the people in salah. And he said another hadith, Ya Ummu Nas, Aqra'um. The people should be led in the salah by the one who recites the Quran the most. Pay attention to this. The one who should lead the people in salah, the one who recites the Quran the most. We know for a fact that they were among the companions, those who recited the Quran, better than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa arda. Yet the Prophet ﷺ said, make Abu Bakr lead the people in the salah. Aisha said, O Messenger of Allah, his heart is very soft. If he reads the Quran, he starts to cry. No one will hear him. His voice is not loud enough. No one, he said, more. Then he commanded her again. I said, command Abu Bakr, let him lead the people in the salah. This reality that the Shia tried to turn a blind eye about is all the evidence you need to know that this is the Khalifa of the Muslims. Because there were those who were more qualified to lead the salah, but the Prophet ﷺ did not say that. Even they suggested Umar. He said, no, make Abu Bakr lead the people in the salah. Then when the Prophet ﷺ felt better, he went out of his room. He found Abu Bakr leading the people in the salah. Abu Bakr wanted to move back, but the Prophet ﷺ pushed him. And he was led in salah by Abu Bakr. And this didn't happen to anyone but to Abu Bakr. All these are indications about who's going to be the Khalifa. Then the Muslims joined. And then they got the vote, and they voted for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, including Ali. But the Shia, who wanted to start fitna, tried to claim otherwise. So they were called the Rafida because they rejected the Khilafah of those who were deserving of the Khilafah, and they said that Ali was supposed to have it because he's blah 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 blah. Anyways, be careful of them in the Philippines and other places. If you see someone from among the Shia, if you don't have any knowledge, leave him alone. If you don't have any knowledge to answer his misconceptions, avoid company with him, because he will mislead you if you don't have any knowledge. If you have knowledge, then it's easy to prove to them that what they're upon is not the truth, and is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who curses the companions must be crazy out of his mind. Must be crazy out of his mind. So this is one thing that... So the Rafida are among those who have these qualities of twisting the meaning and lying and adding and deleting and claiming all these claims, trying to purchase some worldly gain with them. That's why you see them hanging out with the Jews all the time. And this is also the example of many of those who claim to be among the fuqaha. So anyways, we are at verse number 8 inshallah, and we will continue that bi'idhnillah azza wa jal next week, dealing with the reason why they said this, that the fire will not touch us except for a number of days, and alhamdulillah for whatever He facilitated for us. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. So verse 80 inshallah for next week.
Now, in turning on some of our brothers, including me, who work as a driver, family driver or company driver, which sometimes we cannot catch, of course, the thumbnail of the crowd.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we're going to eat our boss or our co-workers. And then we wait until Sihat Jama'ah like this. So are we included to just Pawai Nabi Musa? We have reason.
Well, I mean the reason, yani the reason is there, but also the reason may be treated. After the person strives in treating the reasons, if a person has a valid reason, he must strive to treat that reason, exert himself to the best of his ability, go through all the means possible in order for him to get himself out of the situation. Then if all of these are done and he is still in the same situation, then he may be excused with Allah, and Allah may give him according to the intention. Wa'alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. You see? But some people don't go through the means. Rather, they find that the circumstances they are in are like that. So they say, oh, it's not my fault. It's not my fault that my job is like this. It's not my fault that it's a job like that. Oh, I have to wait for the people. So they also become lenient. You see what I'm saying? So this is when the person will become yani blameworthy. And otherwise, yani we know from the other principles in Islam that whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for him. And whomever really is sincerely intends in his heart to do the salah on time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for him. And it's very easy to tell whoever it is, the kafil or the boss or any person upon earth, that this is your right as a Muslim to attend the salah in a jama'ah on time and things of this sort. So the person basically, Abdul Hadi, I understand. Sometimes it's difficult. But what I'm saying is, the person must always strive, do his part. If Allah facilitates, alhamdulillah. If Allah does not facilitate it because of the circumstances, or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that it's not facilitated, then the person may, his affair is with Allah. But the idea is we don't want to use that. Some people do that. I'm not accusing anyone. Some people take it easy because of their circumstances. So the person should strive even to change the job. If a person is able to work somewhere else, where he is not confined, with this kind of things that would prevent him from the salah, then let him do so. If he's unable to find a job, Allah makes a way out. There's nothing difficult for Allah. If the person's intent is to do salah in jama'ah and the job is not making it easy, wallahi, Allah will, subhanahu wa ta'ala is more generous than the servant. Allah is more merciful to us than our mothers. Allah will make a way for it. It doesn't have to happen the next day. But the person must strive. If Allah decreed that he will not get another job, then he will strive his best to meet the requirements of the salah. If he's unable to do so because of his situation, then inshallah Allah la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusa. Allah will not give a soul more than he can handle. Allah will not give a soul more than he can handle.
We heard some fatwas regarding this also. Brother of the Nabi also. Mm-hmm. He said that doing our job, performing our job is some kind of ibadah.
Of course. But of course, performing a job is an ibadah. But then we have principles in Islam which tells you which one should be given precedence. You see what I'm saying? For example, you getting some rest is an ibadah. And your parents being dutiful to them is an ibadah. So if you are at home and your mom needs you, you cannot say, wallah, I need to go to sleep because sleeping is an ibadah while your mom is in need of you, because her right, her ibadah, the ibadah done with her is far greater than the one done by yourself. So this is when we have conflicting virtues, then you give precedence to the one which is more important in Islam. So your job is an ibadah, obviously. But the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salah of the masjid is an ibadah which is far greater than the ibadah of your job. So when these two come in conflict, then you give precedence to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, أَوَّلُ مَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْهُ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ يُنْظَرُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرْ. The first thing that the son of Adam will be questioned about on the day of judgment is his salah. They will look into his salah. If his salah is good, if his salah is sound, then he will be successful. But if his salah is corrupt, then he will be among the losers and he will be among those who are regretful. So because of this hadith and other verses in the Quran, even if you want to read Surah Al-Ma'arij, Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Verily the son of Adam, the human, was created impatient. If he is touched by evil, he becomes niggardly. And if he is touched by goodness, he becomes, وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا, he prevents, he doesn't spend. Except المصلين, except those who pray. Then the first thing that Allah said about them, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ, those who are consistent with their salah. Then He mentioned the qualities among them, الَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَادِهِمْ رَعُونَ, those who also keep and fulfill their covenants. Then Allah completed them before mentioning their the last thing was mentioned about them, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, and those who safeguard their prayer. So Allah began with them being consistent with the salah, ended with them being consistent with the salah.
So this verse that they also give it the Muslim, because Muslim we do salah, how about the kafir? They are not belong on this verse?
No, of course they don't belong, because Allah says, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, except those who pray. And you cannot pray unless you're a Muslim. You could pray, I mean, the prayer, we're talking about the Muslim.
The other verse said that son of Adam is
إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ, no, verily the son of Adam was created impatient. This is the standard. An exception to this quality because of the salah, because of belief, wa'alaikum salam, as that of the Muslims. Because of the quality of belief, they became an exception to this rule. وَالْعَصَرْ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. By the passage of time, the son of Adam is in loss. Every son of Adam. إِلَّا, except الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So the nature of the son of Adam is like that, except those whom Allah have given the exception due to their iman and their righteous deeds. And the same applicable verse. The idea is, Ya Abdul Hadi, they notice that the first quality they had was consistent with the salah. The last quality was consistent with the salah. In between was keeping the covenants. This shows you that if the salah is good, then everything else in the middle will be good as well. Na'am, wallahu a'lam. May Allah make it easy for the brothers. I know I'm not trying to make it difficult. What we're trying to do is we encourage ourselves to reach the best. Then if we fall short, alhamdulillah. But we don't want to begin already here, because then we will never make it up there. So if you have that intent and the striving to exert yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful. So you will be shocked. You will be shocked when you get someone who tells you, listen man, at the time of the salah, go pray, don't worry about anyone. I will take them on your behalf. We will wait. We will change. Someone will come and change the whole business. Because a person wants to pray in the masjid and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to pray in the masjid, Allah will change the duke. Allah controls everything. So nothing is difficult for Allah. We don't want to say it's impossible. Everything is possible by the will of Allah. And Allah promised that, you know, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Those who strive in our cause, we will guide them to the path. Promise from Allah. You strive and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will handle it. If it doesn't work, then your intent will be rewarded. You will be rewarded for your intention, and Allah will not hold you accountable for not being able to do the things, because it's beyond your ability. But this is after we strive.
Another thing, regarding salah in the car.
No.
This is permissible.
As far as I
know,
for the woman. No. Yeah. The asl habibi, you must stand in the salah. You must stand unless you have a valid reason which allows you not to stand. There is no such reason for a woman. She may go anywhere and pray. It's permissible for a woman to go out in the open and do salah there. You see. So she, no reason for her to pray in the car, unless she is praying the sunnah. If it's a nafila, if it's a voluntary salah, then she may pray while sitting.
Even not facing the Qibla,
because the Prophet ﷺ used to travel on his mount, on his camel, he would pray nawafil while he was going, regardless of the direction. But for the obligatory salah, it must be done in standing.
So for the obligatory, it's not permissible?
No, it's not. No.
No.
يعني the scholars say unless يعني the person was in a situation where the salah time is about to go out and يعني there's absolutely no way for this is usually in an airplane, not on the ground. On the ground you park the car anywhere, yes, you pray. Any exit, the next exit, get off and pray in the back of a gas station, whatever. Behind the car, put the car like this, a woman will pray. يعني if a man is going to sit there and try to watch a woman pray, Allah musta'an. She's not held accountable for the sick person over there. You see what I'm saying? So in case she's worried. But yeah, she...
No.
If you fall asleep in the salah, then this is not really considered falling asleep, sleep, يعني like when you knock out. It's basically you get a little... As far as I know, this does not affect your... This does not affect your wudu. It does not affect your salah. Because even if you're sitting down, the companions used to sit down in the masjid waiting for the iqamah, and some of them would actually sleep while sitting. They would sleep, يعني doze off, as they say. You're dozing off. You're not really, you know, sleeping, snoring. You doze off a little bit, then there's no harm. Then the iqamah will be called, they will get up and do the salah. Nobody will go make wudu. So this is an indication, the scholars say, the يعني, the degree in which the sleep affects you is when you are asleep. When your senses are done, somebody stands in front of you and goes, hey, you don't hear that. You know? I understand. Hey, but as far as I know, Wallahu A'lam, you may check with Dr. Yahya. Double check with Dr. Yahya. As far as I know, this does not affect your salah. Because it's beyond your control. You're tired. But you should avoid being tired during the salah time. But sometimes work, and it doesn't really allow you.
Most of the time, same. Because we,
the work, everybody goes through this.
We don't want to delay the salah, so we go
early. صح, صح.
Even before that.
Jazakallah khair, نعم.
And then we can sleep while waiting the masjid.
Among the things that you can do, is you wash your face or you try to make a new wudu, even if you have wudu before the salah, to refresh yourself if you're sleepy. Then also carry some atar with you, some oil, the cologne, yani. If you, the Prophet ﷺ, يعني, among the benefits of using the scent, the good scent, is that it gives you kind of a you know, it refreshes you a little bit. So you always have some in your pocket before the salah, put some, sniff it up like this in your ear, you know, move yourself a little bit, do some jump jack, what do you call it, jumping jack? Jumping jacks, yeah, do some jumping jack. Make sure that you're up and running before the salah, يعني, and avoid يعني, this situation. But sometimes the work doesn't really help you. Yeah, but the double check with Dr. Yahya whether it invalidates the wudu, that dozing off in the salah. No. I don't think so actually, because one time Prophet ﷺ walked into the masjid and he found a rope hung across the masjid. He said, what is this? He said, they mentioned one of his wives, I believe it's Zainab. They said that she prays at night, so whenever she gets sleepy or tired, she uses it to lean against it. He said, take it down.
Zainab,
yeah? He said, take it down. If one of you has energy to pray, let him pray. If you're sleepy, go to sleep. So يعني, if affected her wudu, maybe he would have mentioned alayhi salatu salam, or he would have said her salah is invalid, she's wasting her time if she's falling asleep. Allahu a'lam, still double check with Dr. Yahya, inshallah. Yes, sir.
You pray inside, you're in the ship, you pray, you're in the airplane, what's the difference?
What's the difference?
I've heard on the TV, there's a difference when you're praying in the ship, when you're traveling by ship, and when you're praying in the airplane, traveling by air.
Well, the difference is that usually in the ship you could stand and pray. Sometimes in the airplane you can't, unless they allow you to take an area. Sometimes it's difficult for you to do the salah in the airplane because you cannot stand. If this is the case, then you the scholars say if you haven't combined the prayers and the time is about to go out, يعني خلاص, you're reaching the limit, the salah, either you're going to miss the salah or not, then you are allowed to pray while sitting. This is after trying to speak to this tourist and trying to get yourself standing somewhere. You know, I've seen brothers, man, you know, they do jama'ah in the airplane. take that one, that area near the kitchen or the bathrooms. Say Bismillah, put the traffic down. Allah, if you're on Saudi Airlines, obviously. But if you go on some French airline, they may be serving some vodka while you're trying to do the salah. So really, it's not the same. And they're not going to be very excited about you having an area. So it really depends on the airlines. Now,
Sometimes time zone is different. For example, if you're traveling going to America, Australia, or Philippines, whatever. And for example, you leave here around midnight, and you're on the way. So the fighter cuts you, in between maybe.
Right.
So which time will you use? Are you going to take the time of where your destination or...?
No, from what I know, you use the time of where you are at that point.
But you know.
Yeah, it's easier. They have a screen that says you are, I don't know what, the time is, local time is such and such. You could ask. They ask, yani, you could ask the stewardess, they will ask the captain of the airplane. It's not a big deal. They love to, tell you this stuff. They tell you we're traveling at this altitude of, I don't know, a million, the time is such and the local time is such. So you may find and you go by the local time.
But sometimes there's no local time, bro. It's big enough, man.
Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Ahlan. Hayakum. Ahlan. نحن يعني وشكنا أن أنت تفضل تفضل دكتور حياتي. So how, sir, tfaddal, sir, how are you, sir?
Fine,
alhamdulillah. I believe this is the Alaykum Salaam. This is right there. No. Be careful there. This is right to your right. Alaykum Salaam. So yeah, you just go by the local time of where you are. It's yani, very difficult for you not to know. Very often, they know what the local time is in that area that you're in. Yani, because for the time zone to change, you must travel for a long distance. And if you're over a particular area, it's known that from here to all the way there, it's still going to be, the time is going to be like 3:30 in the morning, for example. So it's difficult not to know the time over the area you're flying over. It's easy to do it, you know what I'm saying? Yes, sir.
What if I finish the Salatul
Fajr? Oh, that's a good one. I don't know. Yani, he prayed Fajr in his locality before he flew, then he made it there at Fajr time again.
It's always prayer, it should be combined.
Allahu alam. Does that really happen though? Yeah, but I'm saying that. For how long you need to travel before the time changes, yani, this much? Allah, or maybe it's possible, I don't know.
If you from
here, yeah, of course it's not the same. Just avoid flying during Fajr time. Get the reservation for after dawn. You don't have to worry about it. Yalla, shabab, this is the wrong class. طيب خلاص يلا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.